Fenella, before we start talking about wider issues around your practice, I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about why you've chosen clay as your medium and what it is that attracts you to clay.
It's a tough one because I think I could choose other things. I often fantasize about going into textiles. I've got a thing about puppets at the moment because of the story connected with them and the idea of the person and the mystery, getting people to imagine the story that goes with the puppet. But that's the sideline. So clay has always been there for me, really, from early age at school and mud, playing with mud. I don't know that I really know the answer, but when I went to do an art foundation, a few years ago and started again really wanting to explore the world of art, I really tried to go in with an open mind because we were really exploring paint and textiles and printing and photography. We had an opportunity to try it all as well as clay, but I still found that I ended up with clay.
Your surface certainly is 3D. So you have the form, which has,
Yes.
roundness and plasticity, and then you have the surface which moves. So really that does mark you perhaps as a very 3D person.
Yes. Something that's special about clay and different to those other processes, other arts perhaps, is that it has lots of stages to it and it changes each time. But with textiles, you could unpick it, I suppose, to some degree. And other, it, with clay, you really are sort of stuck once you've done it and you move on to the next stage. It's really a challenge. I quite like that unpredictability of it.
So, are
I
you a
say.
risk taker in life?
Yeah, I'm not a physical risk taker. I'm not one of these people that goes bungee jumping. But I really love the risk of clay. I think that is something about and other things too. It's not just the process of making that's risky, and I really enjoy porcelain for that because it just is so tricky to handle, and you never really, however much I have experience with it, it sometimes doesn't work out. So you have to be fantastically resilient and persistent in order to stay with it.
So
Forcing it.
what is it particularly about porcelain that is so challenging?
Yeah, it's very floppy. To bring it to life, it really needs to be fired at a very high temperature, and that then means that it's more prone to collapsing and splitting and folding. It's whereas stoneware clays have grog in them and they have a sort of core strength, so they tend to stay more as they were placed and they hold out better against the firing. A porcelain, it shrinks enormously. It shrinks by 20%. That's disheartening enough to see the work. When you're making very thin work, the thinner it is, the more it will shrink. I'm quite sure of the physics of that, but it shrinks by maybe 20%. So it's a big difference to see all that work disappear, it feels.
Kind of a nice moment for us to talk about sort of motion and flow, which is one of your words for your work and your ideas, and how this idea of flow works while you're deciding, quite apart from the porcelain itself, but deciding what the work is going to look like. Do you sketch in advance? Are you planning like crazy, what the design or the outline of the beads will be, or does it just happen?
Flow implies to me it's a movement, but it's sensitive movement. So it's responding to the environment it's flowing through. If it's water or an ice flow, it's moving with its environment rather than sort of forcing itself. And that's something like that in the process of the making as well. It's quite intuitive. It's not designed. I've tried doing that. I've seen a formation of petals in a flower or a beautiful some feathers on one of my ducks, and I think, oh, I'd love to sort of try and catch that movement in one of my works, and I might have photos or sketch it out and then do it, and it's awful. It looks contrived and wrong. So the best thing I've learned is to trust that if I really look at it and draw it and think about it, sleep on it, next day it will
It will
emerge. It's
emerge.
sort of processed and digested and it's been assimilated and it can come out
Something
in a
different.
better way than it ever would have done if I designed it.
because yeah. your work has references and sort of flashes of all sorts of bits of the natural world, but it's not a direct imitation of nature. So like your duck's feathers, you might see something that looks quite feathery. Or I was looking at one bit of one of your emergence pieces, and it looked to me like a fossil or something that had been in the ground or on the beach for years and years and years and then had risen up. So I find that fascinating, that you're not thinking about it, now I must depict this, that this is all just synthesized and out.
Yes, I find it fascinating. It's the wonder of the subconscious process, which is very familiar to me from having worked in mental health from a psychoanalytic point of view, because it is about that, trying to tune in to that subconscious so that you're understanding what's there deep down inside people that's going to push its way out no matter what. But if you talk about it consciously and point it out to them, then they kind of start to work on it consciously, and it's not really changing. If you can find a way to tap in, make an interpretation which they hardly notice they've heard from you, over time they'll come back and say, I don't know why, but this situation happened again and I didn't flare up or I didn't feel awful about it, you know. It just was different this time because something shifted unconsciously.
I'm thinking while you were saying that of writers, I think that happens with the writing process. And I'm thinking about actors and performers as well who plan and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and learn lines and take direction or have the skill to do something risky, as in a circus performance, but then forget all of that planning and just go into almost another state when they're actually performing or pushing out what is the final piece.
Yes.
I think there's some kind of
absolutely. I think sympathy it's wonderful. Those. I love to hear other artists being interviewed. I heard Nicola Benedetti recently, the violinist, talking about it. She said sometimes you're playing the violin, you know, at the Albert Hall in front of hundreds, thousands of people. She says at the end of the performance, she's almost not sure it happened. She was in such a trance, and she's had to remember incredible, apart from the technique, lot of notes. But it's just, she's got to the stage where she can just trust that it will come out.
When you go to employ those techniques and you float away almost and let it emerge, it's almost like, you know, going back to actors when they say keeping it fresh,
right.
Not over rehearsing,
right.
You know, so that it just, they know the lines, they have to say the lines because that's the script, but somehow it pops out and they say, I heard myself saying it and it sounded completely like a new phrase or a new idea. And that's sort of a magic of creation.
It's fantastic. I've never ceased to be amazed by that. It really is exciting.
Yeah.
Yes. It's difficult. I think you've got to be in the right place to let that happen. It's a real strive to not be too, to not contrive, but not to just, if I'm distracted and listening to the radio and I've got other things on my mind, it's a mess. You know, it's not, it doesn't just happen purely, it doesn't just happen. You've got to be really attentively ready.
Do you like that element of defying expectation, or
it's so exciting if it can happen. It's the best thing, to have an audience reaction at all. It's very exciting if people stop and look and are engaged. That's the first thing. But I remember when I won a show at Ceramic Art London, I won the prize for the show, and one of the judges said, your work absolutely repulses me. I was so pleased at that reaction, actually. And I think she knew that I would be, because it's a really strong reaction. She said it just makes me think of crawling these flows of insects on a beach, that cockroaches. She'd had an experience once of walking on cockroaches, and it looks like it's a horrible mass of maggots. But that,
apart from puppets, you know, as a next stage as an artist, where might you take clay?
Yeah, I talking about collaboration, I really want to spend some time with two things really. I'm trying to get porcelain really, really, really delicate and fine so that it's impossible practically to pick up, find a way to pick it up and have it cast in perspex because it's so magical. And what I've been striving with is trying to get porcelain up to the light, so but fine enough that it can hold itself. It's so delicate it collapses or breaks. But that's one idea that I'm still developing. But another idea, I'm really excited about 3D printing. I love to have some sculptures and work that then is manipulated bit by bit into something that's still recognisably of the original, but can then be printed in a way that I just can't build. I mean, I really am at the limit with some of the sculptures that I've been making. And I wonder how they would work 3D printed. So that's something I'm excited about. But those aren't clay, are they? Those
no,
are other materials.
You're into something else. Then.
Yes. Well, clay, there's so much that can be done with clay. I mean, my workshop has all over the walls sort of failures, basically. but really exciting failures with potential. And, you know, I have them there long enough that they start to really annoy me. And I just think, right, I'm going to have another go. Yes. Because you have to sort of build up a little bank of resilience before you have another dive into the attempts of a failure again. But I often think if I was able to do it all, it wouldn't hold any interest for me. I would leave clay. I'm aware of that. It's something about the having to have a go and it may work or it may not, the jeopardy that is exciting.